Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gole. Tonight, we have a special show. I'll be the focus. I will be talking about my groundbreaking LGBTQ play, Private Lives, Private Lies. Many of my cast members will be sharing their thoughts as well.
So you don't want to miss out on our very own Dr. Diana Grayer talk about this exciting project. But first, here's Greg Maralia with news and events.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Maralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, March 6th, 2016. Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi's political gamble paid off, with his nation's Senate voting overwhelmingly to approve a bill to legalize non-religious civil unions for gay and lesbian couples. After being held up for weeks in the country's upper house of parliament due to heated controversy over a provision that would allow one partner to adopt the biological child of another, the bill will now head to the lower house, stripped of the adoption clause. Renzi had made it his personal mission to bring his country into alignment with the rest of Western Europe. Italy is the only major country without any legal recognition or protections for same-sex couples, let alone marriage equality. In an attempt to force the bill's passage, he called a confidence vote in his leadership and his legislative agenda. Had the motion failed, he would have been forced to resign. The vote was successful, passing by a margin of 173 to 71, an outcome that Renzi has hailed as historic. But gay rights activists, however, have described the bill as a betrayal. According to the BBC, Renzi had long insisted that the provision for gay adoption remain included. His unwillingness to back down on the issue is why the bill stalled in the Senate for so long. However, Italy's highest court refused to recognize a gay partner adoption performed here in the U.S. Renzi decided to move ahead with a version of the motion stripped of the controversial adoption provision. And for the first time, researchers have documented a case in which an individual has contracted a multi-drug-resistant strain of HIV after taking a daily regimen of Truvada, a drug known to be used as a pre-exposure prophylaxis. PAWS magazine reports that scientists have come to the conclusion that it's indeed possible to contract HIV even when adhering to PrEP, when exposed to a strain of the virus that is resistant to both drugs included in Truvada. While it's concerning, experts are suggesting failures like this will be rare. Dr. David Knox, an HIV specialist at the Maple Leaf Medical Clinic and author of the case study, explained that the 43-year-old man had sex with men while taking PrEP once a day. But after 2 years on Truvada, he tested positive. Preliminary tests suggest that he was acutely infected. The man tested positive for the P24 antigen, which surfaces within roughly 3 weeks of an HIV infection and then disappears several weeks later. It was then that he tested negative for HIV antibodies, which typically appear 2 to 8 weeks after infection. The tests suggest that the man contracted a virus from a single individual, and while his virus was resistant to multiple drugs, he's continuing HIV treatment and has a fully suppressed viral load. And Think Progress reports on a new study that concludes that when a queer and a straight woman of equal qualifications apply for the same job, the straight woman is nearly one-third more likely to get a callback. Such were the findings when Emma Mischel, a doctoral student in the sociology program at New York University, created two different test resumes and submitted them to more than 800 administrative, clerical, and secretarial job openings in New York, Washington, D.C., Tennessee, and Virginia. The resumes were similarly qualified, featuring Ivy League degrees, but randomized to show that the applicant had leadership experience at either an LGBT or a non-LGBT organization of similar stature. Mischel found that the applicant without the LGBT indicator was 29% more likely to be contacted for an interview than the applicant who did. Interestingly enough, rates of discrimination did not vary across the locations. That suggests that having LGBT protections in the law, such as in places like New York and D.C., doesn't necessarily protect against the kind of unspoken, invisible discrimination that can occur in a candidate selection process. Studies like Mischel's, which compare rates of resume responses to assess discrimination, are rare, but increasing. Recently, the Washington, D.C. Office of Human Rights did such a test to assess discrimination about transgender applicants and used the results to take enforcement action against 5 businesses. Mitchell said her study, quote, found clear evidence of discrimination against queer women who apply for administrative jobs in the U.S. compared to straight women of equal qualifications. And she added, quote, it would be beneficial if audit experiments such as this were conducted on a more regular basis to keep up with the fast pace at which the public's opinion is changing in support of LGBT rights. And here locally, the Napa Valley Wine Train is offering guests a 36-mile round-trip journey from Napa to St. Helena through beautiful wine country vineyards and past famous and historic wineries. The Napa Valley Pride Ride, the inaugural LGBT wine event, will happen on Saturday, March 19th, with a portion of the proceeds benefiting the Richmond Ernette Aid Foundation. This special dinner will feature some of the Bay Area's most prominent LGBT wine experts, each on hand to lend their expertise and assist guests in selecting wines to pair with their 4-course gourmet meal created by Wine Train executive chef Kelly McDonald. Wine experts include Suzanne Hendricks from Raymond Vineyards, Christopher Barefoot, Ryan Graham from American Wine and Spirits, Eric Murray, wine and marketing sales professional, and David McCaffey from Heron Lake Vineyards. The Napa Valley Pride Ride will begin with a sparkling wine reception at the Wine Train station at 5 p.m. After departing from the station at 6:30, guests will experience an unforgettable 3-hour trip. After returning to Napa, the Funky Town After Party will take place at the train station featuring a video DJ, go-go dancers, and entertainment by Draphne until midnight. Tickets for the Pride Ride range from $195 to $270 apiece. You can learn more at winetrain.com/pride-ride. Now here's your calendar events for the coming week. On Monday, March 2nd at 2 p.m., the Sonoma General LGBT Support Group will meet at the Sonoma Community Center, 276 East Street in Sonoma. And on Tuesday, March 8th at 10 a.m., the Napa Valley Older Adults Discussion Group will convene at the Queen of the Valley Community Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And also on Tuesday at 6 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Male to Female Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And finally, don't miss our own Dr. Diana Grayer's LGBTQ play called Private Lives, Private Lives. It'll be performed at the Grayton Community Club in Grayton at 7 p.m. on April 1st, 7 p.m. on April 2nd, and 2 p.m. on April 3rd. Tickets are now available at Brown Paper Tickets. Just search for Private Lives, Private Lies, and you'll hear more about this exciting new play on tonight's show. For more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof, and tonight we are inside the mind and heart of my co-host and wife, Diana Grayer. So welcome to the show as a guest, Diana.
It's nice to be here on this side of things.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about your play. So let's just dive right in, and why don't you just tell us the history? How did this play come to be?
Well, it all started, there was a contest for 10-minute plays. And I wrote a 10-minute play, and I was rejected. That's how it all started. And so from that place, I don't handle rejection well. So I just continued forward. And as the days went by, my creative juices were flowing, and I got new ideas of 10-minute plays.
Let me interrupt you for a second. You said you don't handle rejection well, but yet you're moving forward. Tell us what you mean by that. What did you mean when I don't handle rejection well?
Well, I was rejected. My play was not accepted. And it was disappointing. And so what I do with that is I don't feel pity, self-pity. I don't feel sorry for myself. I just keep moving. That just wasn't the venue for me. And so I just went forward and created more 10-minute plays. And I created a whole production. That will be airing soon.
What do you mean airing?
Well, it would be staged.
When?
April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Where?
At Grayton Community Center.
That's very exciting.
I'm so, so excited. You have no idea how excited I am. So this is just, it's been a dream ever since that day, ever since I started compiling these different 10-minute plays. So there's a backdrop, a party scene. And within that party scene, there are four individual scenes, which are vignettes, short stories about the lives of the people that you see in the opening scene. So these scenes are about LGBTQ relationships, but about our community, about what is going on in the community. And these are the four topics that I wanted to discuss and share in this particular play. And you probably heard of the lesbian bed death. I know we all have heard of that. And that happens in all different types of relationships, right? Where people are not intimate. People just begin, they start having a friendship versus an intimate relationship. And so these are two women who are struggling with that. The difficulty of one is not intimate. They haven't been intimate for years. And one is deciding, okay, I'm going to try one more go at it and see if we can get something started, some sparks to fly.
That sounds interesting. Shall we hear from the cast members?
Oh, yeah, why not?
All right.
Hi, I'm Diane Madrigal, and I'm one of the cast members for Private Lives, Private Lies, which is coming up pretty soon. My character's name is Deidre, and she is in a long-term relationship with Chloe for 7 years. Deidre is a really strong woman. She's very smart and intelligent. She's beautiful, and she loves her spouse. And they've had some challenges in communication and trying to just hold on to what they had and trying to work through some issues that have come up. As it happens in almost every relationship, people have things that happen. So the communication factor somehow disappeared along the way. So I relate to my character in this relationship because that's happened along the way for me too. So having an opportunity to play this part with Deidre and Chloe has been kind of amazing for me. I was speaking about the impact that this play has had on me. I think that I found such a freedom and an awareness and a genuine respect and love for being able to be just who you are and being able to share that with other people and embrace each other and support each other in a way that I've never had the opportunity to do. So for me, this impact is not only on myself, but on my children and my community as well, because I'm inviting all of them to come. And I've been talking about the play for a long time. But I think for me, I sense such a genuine, so pure kind of love in the cast, in the director, in the storyline, compassion and looking at the obstacles and struggles in the community and how we can unite folks to get together and be aware of it and be able just to embrace each other. So I'm proud to be part of this play. I hope that many people will come out to see it. I hope that they will get the same kind of love and respect and feeling that I feel, a genuine love for each other and just be able to support.
Hi, I'm Sandy. I have not done really any acting at all. I think in high school I was involved in a couple of plays and I was maybe a writer and a director, but I never really found myself on the stage. And although I'm in education, so I find myself in on a classroom stage kind of regularly, but I've never been on a stage like we're doing right now. So I'm kind of excited about it. It's a good opportunity. I'm playing Chloe. And I'm a partner to Deidre. And we're in a long-term relationship and we're having some struggles. We haven't been attending to ourselves on an intimate and personal level for about 3 years or so of those 7 years. And I think it's all going to come to head on this particular evening. I think I can relate to Chloe because while I am a long-term lesbian myself, and I've been in a number of relationships, and I see that what unfolds is some of the same similar dynamics. Sometimes you get a feeling of something. Maybe it's emotional or day-to-day things happen in people's lives and people drift apart. And I think it happens in any relationship. I've heard it said sometimes in lesbian relationships that sometimes women's lives merge too similarly and the sameness perhaps lends itself to a disconnect of maybe the opposite attract or the connect, or, I mean, there's so many different theories. I've had conversations with people over time, and I don't really know what it is, but I feel like I've been on both ends of this story. I have been where I have drifted away, and I have seen others drift away. So I like the conversation that this particular play brings, because I like seeing if they find their way back and exactly how they do it. And I like embodying this person and seeing if I can help her get to the best resolve of it. One of the other things I really like about in playing this role is that it gives me a good opportunity to try out a few different emotions and feelings. Like these two women, they're professional and they're strong and they're smart and they're sexy, and they get to flirt and they get to be romantic, and I get to pull that side of me out. I get to be a little aloof. I get to play with lingerie, and I get to be angry, and I get to be hurt. So it's a good opportunity for me to try out. And for the first time on the stage, I'm going to cry, I'm going to kiss, I'm going to do a few things. So it's very exciting. It's fantastic to play out something like this and make it great in through your own life and through your own mind. I'm excited to see how it's going to turn out. I think I kind of have an idea how it's going to turn out, but I'm interested in playing it. And I think the whole play experience has impacted me in a wonderful way. I like coming to the rehearsals, and I like seeing the different people participating, different ages, different lives. And you meet everybody. I met everybody on the first day, and I look at everybody and I think, how is this going to be? There's no two same people in this group. You know, so interesting, the dynamics. And then I watch people acting and I think, oh my goodness, you're so amazing. I'm going to try that like you, or I'm going to model this, or I'm just really impressed by everybody. And I think the story, all the stories, I've told the story so many times now in my life, like to friends and family and where I work, I keep passing the story along saying, where do you see this? This is four great vignettes that are going to be brought to life, and they're very real stories and they make a lot of sense. And I've seen this over so many years, and you're really going to be moved and taken by what you're about to see. And this is going to go further than where we are. It's going to go further than April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's going to go somewhere else. It's going to play other places. This is going to be a big conversation starter. And it's a familiar conversation, but this is going to make a big difference. And I'm really happy to be a part of it.
The second vignette is about two young boys at home, doing homework, having a grand old time, and then they start to flirt. And then eventually one transforms into a seductive woman, and they're having a great time. You know, like most teenagers, just have this opportunity to flirt, and they do these things. And then suddenly, mom and dad comes home early from a dinner date, and they see their son, Johnny, dressed up like a woman seductively and kissing a boy in their home, and they go berserko. And it's just from this beautiful love scene to this awful homophobic raging father scene and chaos. And it's very dramatic and it's very profound. And it's a lot of what LGBTQ young kids have to deal with on the journey. So it's very powerful. And I just tried to tell the story of the experiences of all the people that I've heard their stories. And so let's listen to what the cast members have to say about it.
Hi, my name is August. I've been acting for a long time. I started in early elementary school, just, you know, little small stuff. It continued through middle school, and then I did some stuff in high school as well. I switched high schools my last year, so I only did one play my senior year. And then since high school, which has been about 5 years, I haven't done anything since then just because I couldn't find anything. I play Johnny, who is a 16-year-old boy, curious possibly about his gender. He likes to dress up as a woman. I relate to Johnny very much so. Just the relationship with his parents is very similar to the relationship I used to have with my parents. I no longer have one with them. His dad acts the way my mom used to act. And Johnny was born a boy and is, you know, curious about his gender, kind of experimenting. I was actually born a girl and transitioned early on as well, or not that early on, but I knew early on something wasn't right. The play as a whole has impacted me a lot more than I originally thought it was going to. You know, I knew it was going to be strong and emotional, but I didn't really know that it would really hit me the way it has. Recently, every night, it's like I'm having dreams about my parents and stuff like that, stuff related around my transition, and just a whole lot of emotions around that every day. It's kind of really taken over my head. You know, it's a lot of what I think about now. I think about things more in depth. It's crazy because a lot of the stories just really, really can, you can connect. They're very relatable. And yeah.
My name is Maggie Wiley, and this is my first opportunity acting ever. And I'm so excited to be doing it. And thank you, Diana, for this play and for getting me out of my comfort zone in doing so. My character is Sarah, and she is a beautiful, empowered 18-year-old who wants to be a human rights lawyer when she grows up. And she's going off to college next year. And she is totally strong and intelligent and looks out for LGBT people because a lot of the people she cares about are in that community and from a personal standpoint as well. And I respect the role a lot and the opportunity to fulfill it because in my own life, there's not very much space for giving voice and giving word to the LGBT existence. And I love how empowered Sarah is, and I love embodying her. And she's kind of my alter ego. And I'm trying to make more spaces in my personal life to embody her more fully. So it's been a process of growing into her as a character. And I really appreciate the play for providing that opportunity and for the variety of stories that it tells.
Hi, my name is Cinnamon Girodengo, and I have been acting for pretty much on and off throughout my whole life. I'm just coming back to it after about a 10-year hiatus. I'm in a really great place right now because I'm in a place where I'm pursuing the things that matter to me. Two of the characters that I am portraying in Private Lives, Private Lies, one is Mom, and she is the mother of Johnny, who essentially is a young boy who is discovering himself. And her and her husband are extremely conservative, and they do not understand that why, how, what happened, why their son is gay, and are really dumbfounded. And so it's really a very painful scene. It's a scene where she discovers the two boys together. Essentially, the whole family is just really ripped apart. The mother character is the kind of the cohesive glue that keeps the family together. And essentially, she's the one that's kind of in between her two children and her husband and just trying to keep it together. I have personally had some experience with that in my own family. So there are a lot of things that came up for me in portraying this role. First of all, being a mother myself and coming from a family that was a little more, you know, conservative and part of my own personal story. So I can really relate to the mother feeling torn.
My name is Troy Filardo. I have been acting on and off for 16, 20 years. I got involved with a little studio in Santa Rosa called Julie Nation, took some classes there and got, you know, hooked up with some agents and stuff like that. And so I've just been on and off, and we've done some YouTube videos and stuff that have been a blast. So I find it kind of a fun thing to do just to, you know, cut loose and... You know, and my character in this play is the dad of Johnny. I can kind of relate to this character because I was brought up very strict, you know, very religious. And there was, you know, a lot of what was right and what was wrong in life burned into me. And so I bring that out in my character that, you know, that has helped me get into this character very well. So, and the play is, as a whole, has impacted me because it's opened me up to what this stuff is all about. And, you know, it just lets me know that we're all here on this planet with different journeys and different tests and different things that we have to go through. And it's really opened my eyes to the crap that other people have dealt with in their lives that makes my life kind of look like a piece of cake in comparison. So I think that's been a huge impact on me.
And then we go into the third vignette, which is an intervention. I really thought long and hard about this. I could have had an intervention to deal with meth, but I decided to use alcoholism because that is huge. And that's a universal issue. There's alcoholism is just destructive. And I wanted to share that on stage, portray that. So these two gay men, one of the partners decided to have an intervention and invited Dr. Ives to come and have an intervention with close friends and family members. Each family member get an opportunity to, they prepared a letter, but they get an opportunity to read their deepest feelings to Victor, the alcoholic partner. And I think the audience will really appreciate this understanding of how it's done. Bring your tissues for sure with this scene. All pretty much most of them, but this particular scene just pulls from your heart and the sadness throughout that the family, they all are going through and the friends. Yeah, bring your tissues, but you also will laugh at certain points throughout all the plays. All the plays are very entertaining. So yeah, let the cast members tell you a little bit about their experience, but it's very powerful.
Hello, my name's Danny. I'm 24 years old. I've been acting as young as three, says my mother. She says I threw an amazing tantrum when I was younger and that I played it off real well. So she put me in acting classes and I played in all the little shows from just like elementary school all the way to high school, actually. In 2003 was probably the first time I did a big show. I was in Winnie the Pooh. I played Christopher Robin. And then from there, where I thought that acting was a passion and something I've wanted to do and want to pursue. So through high school, I was in every play there was, from our drama classes to doing musicals in the springtime. So I've always had a passion for it. I play this character, Tony. He has a husband, Adam, and Tony is a very interesting character because he's actually kind of similar to who I am in real life. Tony is a very flamboyant person. He is in character. He was not really looked at as being gay as a good thing from his family. I was luckily enough from my end of the family have been very open to who I am and who I want to be. But Tony is very creative. He wants to be a designer. He's very loud and wants people to know who he is. And sometimes I feel like I fit right in with him. Sometimes I do feel like maybe I need to speak up a little louder in some issues and topics in life. But that's something you learn as you grow. So I definitely feel like I have a relationship with Tony and who I'm playing and who he is as a character. Now, just starting with this program and this group, I just came into the show and last minute and I just went in with open arms, and it's great. Like, such a warm cast I'm around, and everyone's so friendly. I really can't put in more words than that, because I haven't been acting for a real long time, and it just feels like I just walked into a family, and it feels really good, and it feels comfortable, and it feels where I'm supposed to be right now. That's what I like about what I'm doing with this performance and for everyone. Yeah.
My name is Miss Rosie Rodriguez, and I was attracted to this play by an invitation that was sent to me about auditioning. And when I saw that audition, it stirred up something inside of me. I was in a play about 20 years ago at the Center for Spiritual Living. I like to act, and I thought to myself, I'm going to try out for this play. And so I did, and there were several parts I was interested in. The part that I really, really fit into was the mother's part, Victor's mother and Frankie's mother. This part spoke to me. It related to some of my life, where I have two children, a son about 40 years old and a daughter, 41. But there were things left unsaid with my son. And I did not know that this particular play would heal those things inside of me. So it's been a big healing. I love the part. It's real life. And to portray something that's real, to teach people, to grow people, to love people and embrace people, it's just the perfect role for me.
Thank you. My name is Linda Inman, and I play Dr. Ives in the Sometimes It Takes a Village vignette of this fabulous play, Private Lives, Private Lies. I'm so excited about. I really haven't done any acting, so this is a great new adventure for me. And it just sort of fell into my lap one day, quite by surprise, which is the best way to have things happen sometimes. So I really embraced the opportunity to take this role on, and as the universe would have it, it's a role that really resonates with me, in that as Dr. Ives, I'm holding a container for a group of family and friends who are dealing with a loved one who is addicted to alcohol. And this particular subject is very personal to me, as I've pretty much been affected by alcoholism in one form or another throughout my life. How great it would have been if, when I was a teenager, there could have been an intervention for my brother. He might still be here with us if that had happened. So it is a very powerful and personal role for me, and I hope to embody that and do my cast and my director and my crew proud.
What I gave wasn't mine to give away. But now I found something stronger that I've had too late to learn. I'll give myself back to me. Was when I forgot me. What could have happened to make me so careless? How did I forget? But what most important, why would I pay for something that was free? Cause when I gave myself over, I lost something in return. What I gave wasn't mine to give away. But now I found something stronger that I've had too late to learn. I'll give myself back to me. I'll give myself this one thing I need. I'll give myself back to me. I'll give myself something you'll see. I'll give myself back.
And if you just joined us, you're listening to Living Proof on Outbeat Radio, KRCB FM. And we were listening to Ari Gold singing Back to Me off his CD called Space Under Sun. And beautiful and very appropriate song for our topic. Tonight's topic and guest is about authenticity. Diana L. Grayer, co-host of Living Proof, my wife, and tonight's guest, is talking about her play, which will be performed in Grayton on April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of this year, next month. She is talking about different vignettes in the play, and we join her now talking about the fourth vignette.
So the fourth vignette is two women are getting married, and they're there with their two best friends. And they're talking about history of our right to get married, which is so profound. And they talk about Gavin Newsom when it started here in California, 2004. And just going through the history of the Supreme Court saying, yay, we can get married now. And, but there's an elephant in the room. There's a letter from one of the bride's father. And so they're doing all this conversation around the history, but the letter is just there. And it's like, what are they going to do about this letter? What is this letter is all about? What's in it? What did Dad say to her on her wedding day? So that's the mystery. And you have to come out and see and listen and hear and experience what that is all about. So let's hear from the cast members.
My name is Jude Gibson Byers, and I've been running the front of the house for the Cloverdale Performing Arts Center for the past 3 or so years. So I've been on the other side of the audience, on the other side of the actors and actresses for a very long time. But performance is not something new to me. I was a classical cellist when I was younger. I was a lead singer in a punk rock band with my cello. So I've had kind of an interesting mixed up relationship with theater and performing arts. In this particular performance, I play a character named Hallie, who's getting married since the Supreme Court change in or decision to allow marriages got approved, and everybody got very excited. And that's very much like my own life. My wife and I were married 2 years ago in my living room with the phone hidden behind a bouquet of flowers behind us on speakerphone so that my mom's lover of 22 years could listen to us get married because we didn't have enough time to bring her to Cloverdale. We got married on a Tuesday. I picked the date of 11/12/13 so that my wife would have no excuse not to remember what our anniversary date was, which was preceded by the fact that we started dating in 7/8/09. So when you put the two together, the only thing that's missing is a perfect 10. And so that's how I feel about my relationship. And that's how my character, Hallie, feels about her relationship. So it should be a very interesting and fun comparison because I'm a lot like my character.
Hi, my name is Rosa Fuller, and I'll be playing the role of CJ in the vignette of the letter. Super excited. I've been acting since kindergarten. I remember doing a production of Chicken Little when I was in kindergarten, and I was really upset because I wanted to be Henny Penny, and I didn't get that role. But I did. I was one of the other chickens in the yard. And I remember after the play, parents coming up to me and telling me what a wonderful and convincing chicken I was. Just feeling like so proud that even though I didn't have the lead, I stood out somehow and that people noticed me as a performer. And ever since then, at a very young age, realized that I was not attached to being the lead role. It wasn't about that for me. It was about being in the process and on stage and giving to the audience, because that's really where the juice is. For this role, character CJ, I relate to her so deeply on a very personal level. You know, my father having been absent from my life in general, he did not attend our wedding, and just feeling sort of that absence of a parent and a sense of disapproval from his family, who was very strict Catholic and did not approve of his relationship with my mother. Or me. So I really relate to that. And also just feeling like you're trying to be who you are and people don't want to accept that about you. So I relate to that aspect of it. And I really am touched by her relationship with Hallie and how much they're in love and support each other and are willing to take on this world and do it with a sense of like love and justice and not bitterness. I have a great deal of respect for that. This play has been, it'll be the first time in probably about 15 years since I've been on stage in public. I've taken a few classes since then just to keep my skills sharp, but this is the first time in a long time. In fact, my husband that I've been with for 13 years has never seen me act. So I'm super excited about him getting to see me on stage, and my husband, he's so amazing, and he's totally excited about seeing me in this element. I mean, he's always known that I was bisexual and that I relate to that side of myself as well. But I think this is the first time he'll really get to see me interact with that community and relate to it in a way that I haven't since we were married.
My name is Dee Dee Robbins. I am a Sonoma County resident. And I have been acting for a relatively short period of time, probably about 2.5 years, mostly live theater, a little bit of film, and some fun stuff like being an extra on a set of a movie that's actually in production right now. And I actually woke up this morning to Facebook posts wishing me a happy birthday, and I didn't even know it was my birthday. But I'm 57 today, and the idea that I'm in this play at this point in my life feels like a whole new chapter for me. This play came upon as a surprise to me. It appeared, the call for auditions appeared in my Facebook feed, and I was just instantly intrigued and responded almost immediately that I was interested in auditioning. And I was a little bit leery about auditioning because I didn't know if all of the characters or if all of the actors needed to be of the LGBTQ community or just supportive of such community, which I am, and I consider myself mostly straight. So this play has introduced me to some amazing men and women, some people who've got veteran status acting and brand new actors who've never acted in their lives, and it's going to be spectacular. My character Tracy and my partner Karina are best friends with CJ and Hallie, who are the women getting married, and we are there for emotional and community support while they struggle through their issues with their day. I think the way this play has impacted me, especially now that I've seen it from start to beginning to end, is from an educational standpoint of what I've learned by watching the struggles and the joys and the hurt and the drama and the trauma that happen in the lives of the LGBTQ community. The biggest lesson is that it is the same as everybody else, is that we all struggle the same way. We all hurt the same way, and we all deserve to be treated the same way.
Hi, I'm Liz Levin, and I play the minister in the vignette, The Letter. And I've been acting since college, although I took a break for many years, and then I acted in improvisation while I was in Virginia, and I also was a professional storyteller when I lived in Atlanta. However, the last time I've been on stage has been quite a while. I really enjoy playing the minister. She's a very loving character. And also, I feel the importance of her role is to bring the heaviness and the darkness into the light. She brings much compassion and joy to the play. This play has impacted me greatly, especially The Letter, my minister role. It's important for me to be in touch with the love in my heart to play this role. The anger towards the father in this scene, I've also got in touch with my anger that I was not healed and was able to heal that. Also, there's a statement about bitterness, and I can feel this deep in my heart and the waste and the time of this bitterness. The bitterness I grew up with from parents, my grandparents, and I could feel their pain and how useless that was. And I've really got in touch with that. So it's been a very healing process for me.
Karina is a voice for people that she is the voice piece for people who cannot speak up for themselves. So she essentially comes from a past of not feeling heard and understood coming from the background that she did. So in her life now, Karina's mission is to really lend support and to help other people to find that strength within themselves that maybe they otherwise wouldn't have realized that they had. I know that both of those parts are part of who I am as a human being. I've struggled to have my voice be heard much of my life. And I've also stepping into a place where I'm recognizing that my voice is important, and the things that I've experienced and the life and the path that I've walked, I have something to share with others to help lift them up and remind them of why they, you know, need to keep getting up every day and moving forward. I'm just so excited about being a part of this project. For me personally, it's helping me to come out of a period in my life that was pretty dark, and it's helping me to feel connected. I really, really am aligned with the mission of the play. I love these dynamic women that are bringing it forward, and it makes me want to, you know, do my part to raise it up to the best that I can, to give everything that I can to this project, because I really believe in it. I think it's important. I think it's important for people to be seen, to be heard, and to step out of hiding. And I'm really grateful to be a part of this project.
So listening to the cast members, Diana, and listening to you, and this was born out of a rejection, and now this is a full-fledged production. How did you do it? I mean, have you... Tell the people about your journey as the director, as the writer, as the producer, as the set designer. You're doing everything. Tell about a little bit about that journey.
Well, I've learned throughout my life, you want to get things done, sometimes you have to do it yourself and make it happen. And I'm a believer of that. And so, yes, this is my first play I've ever written. I believe in it so much. I believe in the community so much. And I wanted to see us on stage here in Sonoma County. So that's why I wrote it. I had a reading at my house, and to hear the readers read my words and to hear and to see how they were affected by it, it made me have some juice to move forward. So I met a director, and I asked if she would be interested in directing my play. But unforeseen reasons, she had to back out. I met another director, and this director has been very supportive and very helpful getting this on. It's sort of like Richard, thank you so much, Richard. He motivated me to move forward on this play, and like holding my hand and encouraging me. And eventually I realized, and he realized, I was doing so much of the organization and directing, and had a sense of my ability to see what I want to have done since I wrote it and I see the vision. So he decided to allow me this opportunity to direct, and with some other encouragements from other people. They saw my passion and saw me doing it and felt that I could do it. And so Richard decided he would step back and be the stage manager and be my support whenever I needed. So I am now the director. So I'm the writer, the producer. I was initially the producer because I wanted to see it be staged. I wanted it to come to fruition. And so I worked my butt off trying to get things in place and doing my casting, doing my auditioning. I cast this play as well. And I'm also, like you say, I'm doing the set designing. It's just all coming forth like it's in my bones. It's like something that I know I need to do, that I had to do. And it feels natural to me. So I'm very, very pleased. I'm very pleased with my 17 cast members. It's just incredible, the journey that I've been on. I'm so happy that I'm able to give the community something that's therapeutic, that's educational, that's hopeful, that's full of love. And they get to experience what LGBTQ people experience. So it's wonderful for therapists to be there to witness, so they can kind of get a sense of and be in to witness what their clients might be going through. I recommend it for friends and family members of gay and lesbian LGBTQ people. I invite straight people so they can get an understanding and to learn about what happens in the gay community. This is just part of the story. Someday I hope to write another one to share other stories. So I'm really happy, and I hope people can be impacted by it and affected by it. And again, on rejection, if you're a writer, Keep writing. Be open. And don't let anybody stop you from sharing your dreams and who you are as a person. Don't hide anymore. Come out. Show yourselves. That's what this play is about. It's about showing up and being authentic. That's what it's about. Your life matters. Our lives matter in the LGBTQI and all the other initials. We all matter, and that's the message. Show up and be authentic.
Thank you, Diana. We'll be back next month in April. Until then, good night.
Tune in next Sunday night to Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on Radio 91. Remember, you can always listen on demand to many of your favorite Outbeat Radio programs on our website at outbeatradio.com. You can also take Outbeat Radio on the road with you anywhere in the world with internet access. Just download the free KRCB mobile app, available now at the Android and Apple stores. Listening to KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa, Radio 91, online all the time at krcb.org. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.